So today's message on the 22nd of September 24 is entitled Hedge Trimming. Hedge Trimming. And why not? Why not? I was going to call it something else, and I thought hedge trimming was more to the point. I'm going to start with a reading from John 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's that time of year again, isn't it? Autumn. And autumn means that the last few days of warmth and dry weather are probably upon us now. And we should be using those days, fine days, as few or as many as we are given, in some way to prepare for winter. You might be thinking about, is my gas boiler okay? Have I got enough fuel for the winter? Do I need some woolly socks? Do I need a thicker jumper? Do I need a better coat? Do I need wellies? What do I need? As we know from Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. There's a time to search, and there's a time to give up. There's a time to keep, and a time to throw away. There's a time to tear, and a time to mend. There's a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. There is a time to love, and there's a time to hate. And of course, there is a time for war, and there is a time for peace. That was considered to be the wisdom of Solomon. Thinking about there's a time to mend, a time to tear, and a time to give up and things like that. My wife has just bought a new steam iron and a cover for the ironing board. I didn't think the old iron was totally worn out. It still worked, but partly because I'm a fixer mender kind of guy, a make do kind of guy. But she thought it was time that we had a new one before the non-stick sole, which had started to rot through due to the hard water that we suffer, started ruining the more delicate articles that need to be ironed. She has a point. The other thing was that my t-shirts started coming back from being ironed with strange diamond shapes on them. That was the result of the ironing board cover wearing out and the metal mesh underneath it imprinting itself on my t-shirts. So I don't mind that we've got a new iron, and I don't mind that we've got a new ironing board. But left to my own devices, I probably would have made do for a bit longer and probably fixed the ironing board cover and patched up the iron. Because I'm from the time when you had to make it work because you couldn't afford another one. But there's a time for everything, isn't there? Every dog has its day, as they say. And every tree goes through seasons. For a tree, every year it grows sprouts and they develop into leaves, and then it produces some kind of fruit, and then after summer it enters autumn, and in autumn it changes colour and the fruit is matured and it falls off or it's picked, and then the leaves fall off and get blown away and produce some kind of compost somewhere. That's on the annual basis. But also over its life span, a tree spends so many years growing up to full height and width. So many years living as a mature tree and being fruitful. And then, after that, it spends so many years preparing to die. Sounds very poignant, doesn't it? But it hits the point where it's finished the living, producing cycle, and then it goes through years of decline until eventually it packs up. I'm guessing that all things being equal, we as men and women do the same thing, don't we? We're born, we're raised by our parents to adulthood, we hopefully find a mate, get married, have children, live out our lifespan as mature people, then sadly we start passing over the hill, and slowly, and you notice this in the mirror, at a certain point you think, I'm no longer growing, I'm starting to decay. Some of us know exactly what I'm talking about, and some youngsters don't have a clue. But you will soon find the first grey hair, Daniel.
Never.
So we start passing over the hill. It's all downhill. It could be slowly or it could be quickly. We never know. But all things being equal, there's a time for everything. And they're the kind of times that we've got ahead. Anyway, whether we are old or young, whether we are in good health or otherwise, nearly worn out or still fighting fit, we are all right now in the reality of being in autumn. This is autumn. And autumn means that we have to start not just thinking about winter, but preparing for winter. Now, I've just recently heard someone on radio who was explaining how he managed to become so successful and achieve so many things in his life. He's written so many books and done so many things that people think, how did you manage to get all that done? And he explained that one of his early problems in life was that of procrastination. In other words, thinking about doing something, but never actually getting around to doing it. Never getting around to doing anything about it, because he wasn't looking forward to wading through the amount of time and effort it would take him to achieve that good result that he was looking for. As a result of that, he didn't start many things that he wanted to do. Being a perfectionist can stop you starting things because you want the result to be perfect. So you're afraid to start just in case the result isn't perfect. However, this guy came across a solution that worked for him. And this is what that solution was. Rather than waiting for a time when he was in the right mood, with the right energy level, feeling optimistic, feeling inventive, industrious, that the sun's going to shine, it's all going to work out, I'll make a good start and I'll finish it. He started telling himself, I'll give it a maximum of 3 minutes of my time and start. I'll start today and I'll give it 3 minutes, no more, I'll just give it 3 minutes of my time. And you're thinking to yourselves, how can allocating 3 minutes to anything important in your timetable or schedule be effective? How can that make you successful and achieve many things? 3 minutes? Well, in itself, 3 minutes probably wouldn't and couldn't. But the result of letting himself off the hook of committing to large chunks of his time to just one thing resulted in this. Once he started something with the understanding that he wasn't obliged to spend a lot of time on it, he only had to give it 3 minutes of concentration and effort, he stopped procrastinating. And he actually achieved many more things. Simply because his 3 minute window automatically extended into much longer time allocations, where he achieved many more of his goals. In other words, because he started, he got stuck in and achieved more than he intended. A case of, I started now, so I might as well carry on. I started, so I'll finish. The big hurdle of, oh, I'll put it off, mañana, I'll do it another day, when the weather's right. And this trick may be of the mind, works for me too, because I have a tendency to put things off until I really have to do them. So I tried this theory of, I'll just give it 3 minutes, like preparing a sermon. I'll just sit down, I'll just do the first page, and it works for me. Or I'll start preparing the words on the computer, or I'll do three of the songs and won't do the rest. And more often than not, because I've started, I've got over the first barrier of procrastination. I'll put it off. So I'll do the first bit. I'll make a start. I just want to share with you some more wisdom from Ecclesiastes. It's from 11:4. And it says, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. What does that mean? In other words, it means if you're looking for exactly the right time to start something important, you might never, ever get around to it before it's too late. And that could be many things in your life. If you're waiting for just the right moment, just the right weather, you're looking at the wind, think, nah, it's too windy today. Or you're looking at the clouds, you think, oh, well, we can't have a barbecue today because it's going to rain. Definitely going to rain. It doesn't rain. You missed the opportunity. I should have planted these seeds 2-3 weeks ago, but the weather wasn't quite right. So you've missed 3 weeks of growth. In other words, if you want to do it, if you should be doing it, start. Give it 3 minutes. And if it's right, you'll carry on. All right, okay, back to autumn and things that need to be done before winter. I have a very big Leylandii hedge separating us from our neighbour. It's so big that I've decided to cut it only once a year because it takes so long. And in order to get away with that, I have to cut it very short once. And I usually don't start it until October, because at that point it's definitely stopped growing. But this year I decided, as I'm getting older, to make an early start in early to mid-September while the weather was a still bit warmer, because it's better on your shoulders and your muscles and things like that. So I took on the mental attitude of, I'll just do a little bit of it. I'll just do, well, you can't do anything in 3 minutes, but I'll just do a little bit of it. And I'll pace myself so I don't wear myself out. And as a result, my neighbour was surprised that I had started it much earlier than normal. And when she asked why I'd started it earlier than normal, I said that once I've started, I'm more likely to finish. Now, these scriptures came into my head while I was writing this. These are things I want to share with you. From Proverbs 22:6, it says, train or start a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it, or she will not turn from it. Each of us here is being trained by God's word. We may not like it sometimes, and we may resist acting on it every time, but as God's children, we will eventually come back to his word, and we will obey it. In coming back to his word, we're coming back to Jesus. Another one I want to share is 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. One more scripture, 1 Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So just bear that picture in mind. The starting of a child and the beginning of faith, and sheep going astray, having returned. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you about cutting hedges, big hedges with lots of imperfections in them and dead brown patches. People often admire my hedge and say how healthy it looks and how straight and how very tidy it looks. What they don't say is, how do you get it looking like that? My ex-neighbour Walt, God bless his soul, he's dead now, was convinced that it was not an ordinary Lelandii. Because it looked so smooth and green, he was convinced that it must be a different species because it wasn't like all the rest. Okay, so how do you get a near perfect looking, very tall, wide, strong hedge? Step one, you don't start now. You start 25 years ago. Because that was the first time I cut that hedge, when it was almost half the height that it is now, and I didn't need a ladder to do the top of it. So now I've cut it about 25 times, and each time I try to do the same thing. It's a bit like, and this is the point, it's a bit like God dealing with his children. First thing with the hedge is to cut back much of the excessive growth, the things that have come out all over the place that are not what you want. And depending on the weather over the last year, that could be 3 to 5 inches of growth. If you miss a year, then you have a seriously more strenuous and difficult job ahead of you. It's a bit like praying to God. The more you do it, the easier and more natural it becomes. But if you procrastinate about when to start praying to God and put it off, well, there's every likelihood that you'll just think about it and not start praying to God. It's better to form a habit and stick to it than to look back and wish that you had started a long time ago. So back to the hedge. When you cut through the main branches, you realize that there are baby branches underneath waiting to become big branches next year. And it's tempting when you cut in the hedge to just ignore them because they're all very neat and tidy and leave them alone. But if you do, you'll have to cut the hedge twice a year because they will grow so fast if you leave them alone or let it get out of control. How many out of control Leylandii bushes have you seen where they've blocked out light from neighbours? They grow into very big trees if you leave them alone. Instead of being a blessing, they become a curse, both to the owner and to everyone else who suffers from them. We can be like that. Left to our own devices, we block out the light. What should be a blessing to other people becomes less than a blessing. We become not what God intended. So to make a solid hedge, you have to trim as many baby leaves as you can. There's thousands of them. If you manage to take the very tip out of these leaves, then surprise, surprise, they bush out. And instead of racing ahead on their own and making big, unruly branches, they fill out into the available space, searching for light and searching for space. It's a bit like God disciplining his children. Look at Hebrews 12:5-7. You have forgotten that word of encouragement addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Discipline. The problem with this bit of trimming a hedge is this. Just like disciplining a child, it's very possible to overdo it. You can overdo it such that your child will lose heart. And in the case of a hedge that is cut too short or aggressively, it won't survive the winter and could easily die back when it's short of light and warmth and the frost gets at it. So 2 points here then. Be thorough, whether you're disciplining your children or whether you're trimming a hedge, but be sensitive. Take your time and be patient with your hedge and your children or those that you're responsible for. So that's the training and discipline bit. But what happens if you find something drastic? If your hedge has been previously being cut too aggressively or is diseased and has died back, leaving brown leaves and dead areas, there's no point whatsoever waiting to see what will happen next year, because nothing will happen except the brown will get bigger. You have to cut out the dead bits. You have to let the living bits move into the holes that have been left. If there are dead bits in the hedge, along with perhaps dust and old birds' nests and things like that, it's best to shake them out, to let the light and the air in and allow the rain to wash through the hedge without getting blocked and causing rotting foliage and stunting growth. Short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. And apply it to yourselves. If there's sin in your life, if you recognize there's sin in your life, you know it's there, it has to be removed. The longer it's left, the worse will be the end result. Let's look at a similarity with the human race. Things that might need a radical change. And this is radical. And this is Jesus speaking from Matthew 18:8-9. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. Jesus said that. Everybody loves Jesus. That sounds so difficult to swallow, doesn't it, in today's modern age? That sounds so drastic, but sometimes you just have to cut it out, just like cancer. You can't leave cancer in. You either have to kill it or you have to cut it all out, all of it. So what's the whole point in trimming edges in the first place? Well, I guess it's a bit like saying, what's the point in God creating mankind? What was the purpose? Let's look at the purpose. Genesis 1, 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And also in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. That was Adam's first job. Adam the gardener, to work it and take care of it. So my own feeling is this. While I'm living a quiet life working with my hands, I find that my mind can relax as I concentrate on what I'm doing with my hands. And when I finished, I can stand back and admire the work that I've done. Maybe we should all take on Paul's advice to the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to 12, this is what Paul said. He said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Just as we told you, so your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And the other benefit to living a quiet life, working with your hands, is that God, if he chooses to, can speak to you while you're working with his creation. While you're cutting the hedge, or doing the washing up, or cutting your grass, or whatever you do with your hands. Okay, so that's a crash course on trimming a hedge, so as to get good results. And hopefully, you've seen the similarities of how God deals with us. A little bit like how I deal with my hedge. Neither of us is willing to let our subject get unruly. We aim to do the best for our subjects and patiently train them over a long, long period of time with the intention of making the subjects conform to our individual wills. I have an image of what I want when I'm doing my hedge. God has an image of what he wants when he's trimming our lives, when he's dealing with us. I want to make a nice looking hedge. He wants to change us into the image of his son. It takes a long time. Repeated year after year after year. John 15:6-8, as we read earlier, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We need to have signs that we're being disciplined, that we're changing over time. We should be producing fruit in autumn. We should have something to show for our faith. I just want to finish with a short reading from Philippians 1:3-6. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I've started, so I'll finish. That's what God says to each one of us. I've started, so I'll finish. I'll do a little bit every day. I'll do a little bit. I'll correct things. I'll cut out things that shouldn't be there. I'll encourage things that are growing in the right direction. And I'll discipline you if you let me. If there's anything in you that needs to be out, he will take it out. You might resist that. We might all resist what he's trying to do, because we're intrinsically disobedient. We're intrinsically selfish. But he will have his way in the end. Thank you, Father, that you are the gardener. We're just the branches. We are grafted into the vine, Lord. Even you did that. We didn't do that, Lord. And we need to be disciplined by you. So we pray that you continue to do that, Lord. We give you full permission. Help us to yield to your hands, Lord. To yield to you like clay yields to the potter's hands. That we will be changed from day to day, for as many days as we have left, Lord, into the image of your Son. Because we know that one day we will all be changed anyway, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump, Lord. And we don't know when that might be. So help us to yield, Lord, to you, to the gardener's hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.